This is Conor Lennon from UN News. Many countries still have COVID-19 related restrictions on social gatherings, but the UN system is fighting to ensure that as many schools as possible can stay open, citing the critical, diverse services they provide children. At a press briefing held on Tuesday on the effects that the pandemic is having on children, the World Health Organization chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus declared that health and education are two of the most precious commodities in life. Henrietta Fore, the head of the UN Children's Agency UNICEF, who also spoke at the briefing, warned of a global education emergency. Robert Jenkins is UNICEF's education chief, and he told me that the full weight of the UN has been brought to bear on this enormous challenge.
This has been an unparalleled scale. 1.6 billion children with their school affected at its height, now nearly a billion. It was an all hands on deck within UNICEF and working very, very close with the other agencies. The overall response of UNICEF has gone through four stages. Our first stage was to work very closely with governments as schools were closing. And the key point there was to see how could schools, and if they could stay open, how could they stay open safely and engage with them. And it was like a wave crossing over the world. And then the second stage was, as schools closed, how to provide remote learning and alternative learning for children. And that's still going on in many countries, as you know, but that was the key there was understanding which children are on the, if you'd like, the wrong side of the digital divide, and how do we reach children with multiple ways in each context, recognizing we needed to use multiple tools to access children in based on their needs, based on their levels of access. So the good news there is, on average, countries employed 3.9, almost four different modalities of reaching children, and ranging from low-tech to high-tech, delivery of learning materials to homes like textbooks and paper and pens, through the radio, through the television, which were by far the most used, to IT-enabled world-class education tools. Third stage, planning for the reopening. And that began with an issuance of a framework for reopening schools that was issued by those five agencies. Again, UNICEF, UNESCO, World Food Program, UNHCR, and the World Bank actually was a co-author of that framework. And that set the key tool that we used to engage with governments to plan for the reopening. And then many countries are now between phase two and phase three with partial openings, et cetera. Phase four is recovery. Once schools open, how do we leverage that reopening process to the short, medium, long term to have better schools as we move into the future? The three overwhelming messages on the reopening schools that we're engaging with governments on using that framework are: plan for and take proactive action to reach the most vulnerable. And that's based on the lessons from school closures to Ebola and others, which is, if we do not proactively reach and motivate and engage with the most vulnerable, we will we run the risk of children not coming back to school at all. Second is, when we reopen schools, can we reopen them in a new way, delivering learning and meeting the learning needs of children in a new way? That's based on the recognition that there was a learning crisis before the pandemic. The pandemic exacerbated the learning crisis. So when we reopen schools, let's not go back to the learning crisis. Let's seize the opportunity to teach and enable learning in a new way. And the third key lesson learned from also previous school closures was, the third lesson was, provide for the holistic needs of kids. I, of course, in the education sector am focused on learning, but fully recognize and I'm working very closely across the sectors so that as children walk back into school, they're having their health needs, their nutritional needs, their psychosocial needs, emotional needs, and leveraging the school as a platform for comprehensive services. This is also a recognition that the impact of school closures was far bigger than learning loss alone. It also cut off many millions of children from access to school meals, but also many other services that schools provide. So when we reopen schools, that third message of holistic needs is critical. Now, when we're moving to the recovery, we're very, very concerned about education budgets. And so we're not only are we trying to leverage this opportunity to transform education systems, at the same time, we are engaging very closely both with governments, with the private sector, with donors and others to highlight the needs and the education needs and to protect education budgets, both with the pressures that the economies are under, but also that the fiscal space, how limited it is, recognizing the demands across government's work. We are very, very concerned about education budgets. So that's the kind of key issue on the fourth stage.
And how hopeful are you that we hear a lot about building back better, not going back to the new normal? How hopeful are you that lessons will be learned this time around and that some of these changes that you've been calling for even before the pandemic will actually be made?
I am really optimistic. And why I'm optimistic is we've seen some great examples of indeed how countries have seized the opportunity to build back better and have been. Let me just highlight a few. Like, for example, the Learning Passport is an initiative and a partnership between UNICEF and Microsoft and the Cambridge University. And the Learning Passport is an IT-enabled learning tool that has been introduced across a whole bunch of countries. It could end up in 20 by the end of the year. And this is all just from 2020. This is a brand new tool being introduced. This is a platform which can work online and offline. So that's one of its major attributes. It can reach children that are not have access to the internet online constantly. It can be adapted to upload local content and tailored so that it's very adaptable and it is showing great promise to leapfrog education. But there are many other, like the use of U-Report. It's a mobile phone platform to consult with adolescents, bring their voices into the design of school campaigns and engage with school campaigns. It's also being used in Cote d'Ivoire and Indonesia. In Turkey, we have a mobile application to provide for special education learners and to meet their unique needs. This is a snapshot. We have seen many examples of innovative ways of reaching children during this remote learning second phase, but also in planning for the reopening. And it's really exciting to see. But I do not want to minimize the challenge that countries are experiencing, governments are experiencing, and children are experiencing. But, you know, with this level of disruption has come opportunity. And I think overall, we see the pace of change in the education sector, which was long overdue, the need for change has greatly accelerated.